Morning, everyone. This is Steve Martin. I'm here with Dee, and we're going to be talking about her spiritual journey, her journey out of religion, and to some of these truths that we all hold dear, and our source of freedom and peace for all of us. Dee's has been very active in social media, has written a number of articles for the BSN, and so I'm just excited to have the opportunity to talk to her. We're going to talk about the salvation of all and the sovereignty of God, and then some other things that she's interested in. So, Dee, to start out with, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself and your religious background.
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you today, and I pray the Lord will be glorified through our time together. I was raised in a Pentecostal home, went to Pentecostal churches, Four Square prominently. And then the Pentecostal, through the ages, or through the years, I should say, turned into charismatic. And when that happened, I began to question a lot of things that I had grown up with. First of all, speaking in tongues, which I did. And I prayed often in tongues, so much so that that was a lot of my prayer life. And when I came into questioning, that was one of the first things that I questioned. And when I realized that it was not for today, it was for a different time, I tried very hard to lay it down. I did lay it down. However, it was very much a part of me. It was like an extension of me. And so it took time to really get that out of me. And then I started questioning things that were happening in the church that I was going to at the time. I was part of the worship team, and we'd gone to a conference, I guess you would call it, in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, and some phenomenal things were taking place there, and it just didn't seem like God. It seemed like it was from a different spirit, and questioned more, and this particular spirit that was there came back with the worship team. And from then, it was just, everything was a big question to me then. And more things kept happening within that church that I was going to. And I just said, this is not God. Several things took place that I knew weren't him. They didn't line up with scripture. I mean, there was things that took place in the Bible that were not taking place where I was going. And so I just questioned everything. I moved from that place, which was Southern Oregon, up to the Portland area. And when I got up there, I was going to... I don't even think I was going to church for a bit. Then I went to a Salvation Army church. And that was quite charismatic too, actually. And again, I had to leave. And one time, my daughter and her son and I went to a big church. This main speaker, who was very prominent at the time in the charismatic movement, was speaking. and his image was broadcast upon a big screen so everyone could see him and the audience. I think I had to go walk, step out for a bit. And when I stepped out into the corridor, they had these huge recording machines, not a few, many. And what they were doing were they were ready to duplicate his preaching or whatever you'd like to call it. And when I saw that and saw the monetary gain that they were promoting, that was it for me. I just couldn't do it any longer. I couldn't go to church, quote unquote, any longer. And other than one other time, that's the last time I went to a church building, per se. I moved from there to a small area in Eastern Oregon. And one morning I was just overwhelmed with meeting or just wanting to go to church. And this pastor's wife had invited me to her church. So I thought, I'll go there. I would venture to say that 8 out of 10 times I've ever gone to a visiting church, that they had a guest speaker. There was a missionary there or that was not the preacher for that, you know, that church. Mm-hmm. And this day was no exception. There was a young man there from some other, I don't know where he was a missionary from right now, but he got up and he shared his missionary journey. Excuse me, but at the end, he gave a salvation message. And he asked the people to not come forward, to not lift their hand, just there in their seat, to, if they felt the Lord was tugging on their heart, to just say yes to the Spirit of God that was calling them. And he had a pure grace message for them. And I was delighted. And that's what the Lord wanted me there for, was just to hear that. That yes, indeed, there is still a grace message going out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as that young man sat down, the pastor of the church got up and said, everyone who just heard that, please come forward and so-and-so will talk to you and blah, blah, blah. The same old. And anyway, it just really touched me that God's grace had met those people that day. And I just cried like a baby because, like I said, I was delighted that that happened. So, but that's the last time I've gone to a church building, per se. I've never felt the need to go. I've just, I don't know. I started questioning hell sometime back before that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a online teacher speak against it one time, and I just filed it away because I had grown up with hell. My goodness, everyone's going to hell that doesn't accept Jesus. So that was set aside. But the Lord didn't set it aside. He would bring it up every now and then. And to the point where I had to come face to face with, what God am I serving? What God am I believing in? And I finally came to the conclusion that the God I was believing in wasn't the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible is a God of love. And he asked us to love our enemies. Why would he send people to hell?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to lay that teaching aside. And like I said, that was the first thing that I came to know was not true. And from there, the Lord just kept showing me different areas that I believed in that were in error. And so one by one, I got to be free from that religion and really come to know my Father and to know Him intimately. So that's that journey.
Okay. So how did that realization impact your life? I mean, as far as how you related to people or your own inner being, excuse me. You know, how you thought about yourself and others and that type of thing.
It's a good question. Well, I suppose at first, in my immaturity of this new knowledge, I wanted to tell everybody.
Of course.
And probably shove it down their throat, I would imagine.
We've all been there.
Because I was so excited about it. Everyone needs to know this. But telling someone there is no hell, that's a hard one. I mean, not hard for me, but hard for others to swallow because they were locked into that thing too. So anyway, I probably went through that stage for some time actually because, you know, I had the answers and they didn't, and I wanted them to know. But over time, God is God, I'm not, and He knows when a person should be unlocked and when they're not. I studied online. Excuse me, when I talk, my voice gets this way. But anyway, I studied with Stam and O'Hare and different ones online for years, and that's when I really came into grace. But then, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, I came across Clyde's articles, the BSN. I actually went on James's site, the Ignorant Brethren, and I still thought I had something to teach somebody, I suppose. And I put something on there and James corrected me. And so I went back to scripture and studied it further. And I realized something. And that was through BSNs that the wall up and wall down teaching. And I realized that some of the things that I was still holding on to were wall up teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, at that time, I didn't know wall up from wall down. But let me back up just a little bit. Some years before that, I had an opening to Acts 28, but I really didn't have a strong handle of it. And then I started reading and listening to A. E. Nock material online at the Concordance site.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot from reading and listening to those gentlemen. But I think I said to you the other day that they were mid-Acts, and so it drew me back to the middle, as I call it. And so I was there for years and years, which includes the teaching on the rapture, the snatching away, very prominently. And when I joined with James and started reading the BSNs, the Lord brought me back to the Acts 28 teachings and just set me firmly in that. And I've just, from there, I've just been increased in my, I call it my knower, my inner man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's just been, I don't know, just more freeing, more peaceful. Things have come together. Things I had questions about before, I no longer question. And just beautiful stuff.
So at what, I'm guessing it was early in your journey, but at what point did you start to understand the sovereignty of God, that he's completely sovereign?
Another good question. Probably not that long ago, actually. Okay. Maybe. You're talking about us having free will versus God's sovereignty, basically, right?
Right.
Yeah, probably not that long ago. Through BSN articles and listening to Clyde, sharing and talking with James. So probably a year, maybe, not even that long, where I've come to be real solid in that and not question it. There are things that bother me.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure they bother you too, but knowing that the Father is not allowing these things but actually purpose them is, and knowing that it's for ultimate good helps me. Let's put it that way. I mean, you may have read some of the things I've written before. The, you know, how children are treated, sex
mm-hmm.
trafficking, the drugs and all of that stuff. That's hard for me to, you know, see the Father in that. I'm sure it is for others too, but I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I trust him that he knows what he's doing, and who am I to argue with him?
Yeah.
And even when we say we don't like this and we don't like that, we're actually saying we don't like what he's doing. So I can't embrace that mindset because I trust him. Did I answer
your
question?
Yeah, no, that's a good answer. I know exactly where you're at, and I have to keep going back that God will make it up to them. And, you know, what that scripture says, that the present suffering doesn't even compare to the glory that's coming. Well, the way some people suffer, their glory must be going to be something really spectacular. And
I like that.
Yeah. And so,
I never equated that like that before. I'm going to hold on to that one, Steve.
Yeah, I think there's a, because of the contrast, the people that, you know, are in, you know, the whole Israel situation now or any of, I mean, there's 100 terrible things happening in the world at one time. And, they may experience God at even a deeper level than some of us that, where our lives have been relatively easy compared to some of those. And
you mean in glory?
Yeah.
In the glorification, yeah.
In the glorification,
and that I like that. That gives me peace. I appreciate you saying that.
I know I struggle with that too. And I consult with nonprofits, and a lot of them work with children. And you see some of the terrible things that happen to children around the world. And if God doesn't make that right, then there's, you know, then I'm not sure I want to be a part of that. And but I have the confidence that He will. And the whole sovereignty issue has helped me deal with that.
For sure.
So
hold on to that one.
All right. Well, please do. So have there been any other truths that have really impacted you, especially like recently? Have you been studying some things that have stood out to you? And if not, that's fine. I don't want to feel any pressure.
No, I was just trying to think of something else. Actually, I can't think of anything offhand.
Okay.
Just everything I've come to know, I just have settled into it so much that it's not overwhelming thought to me anymore. It's just there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I just have found so much joy in knowing or realizing, I think the word would be realization. And only He can do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't think of anything right offhand, actually.
Mm-hmm. Here's something that I've thought about. I ask you, have you ever wondered why God chose to show this to you?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, He really does choose the
downtrodden.
The downtrodden, yeah.
The
it's like, there's no reason me and you should be talking to each other except being pulled together by these truths and these realizations. And what would you say to people who are beginning this journey? They're starting to question their religious background and, you know, they know something's wrong, but not sure what to do about it.
Well, you're asking me hard questions, Steve.
Once.
I would say, come out.
Okay.
Come on out. It's better over here. Now, keep questioning. Keep asking. Read the scriptures. Find like-minded believers. And just do it. Like Nike says, just do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to.
No, that's good.
I've never actually, I would probably not say a whole lot, Steve, to tell you the truth, because if they ask, I would share.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't ask, I really don't impinge on another person's spiritual walk, because I know God is in their life right where they are. He kept me in deception for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he did so, because when I saw the truth, I would know the truth. And I would gravitate toward that truth. And I believe the same is for every individual that comes to know, comes to realize the things we do.
Yeah.
And I can't speed that up. If the Lord opens the door, I will share. But if it's not open, I'm not going to bolt bolt them down. I used to do that, like I said earlier, but I'm at rest. I'm at peace to where God has everyone stationed in their life. And I don't want to interfere with what he's doing. So I guess that would be my answer.
That's a good answer. Isn't this relaxing? We don't have to fix people.
It is.
I mean, back in the day in my religious thing, I would have interaction with someone who obviously, well, I thought was an unbeliever. And then I'd feel all guilty because I didn't share the gospel with them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
I do.
And then, yeah. And now it's like all we have to do is love people and care about people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not a project anymore. They're a person. And
right.
Like you, I find it very relaxing.
It is. You're chillax.
Chillax, yeah. Well, this has been good. Is there anything else you would like to say before we end this?
Well, I thank you for your fellowship. I appreciate you and the other brethren associated with the Bible study notebook. And I just look forward to learning more and being more like him through his transformation and then his timing. And that's for all of us. I would say one thing about prayer. Like I said earlier, I spoke in tongues all the time, and I just didn't have a prayer life after that. I didn't know how to pray because I prayed in tongues all the time. And, I mean, I did speak in my own terms, but mostly in tongues. So I didn't have a prayer life. I felt very bad about it. And I often said to the Lord, I don't know how to pray anymore. And I don't know what to say to you. And I don't know, not long ago, I just came to the place where I had the wrong thinking about prayer. And I've come to realize that my prayer life is constant because my spirit is in tune with his spirit. And I'm always talking to him. Always.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you want to call it prayer or not, prayer is just communication with another person, right?
Right.
In this case, with the Father. So I don't feel guilty about me not praying like you're taught to pray.
Right.
So, yeah, I have peace about that too. So I would encourage anyone who might be listening to not feel guilty about anything anymore, because you are right where you're supposed to be. Whether you're in a job you hate, or doesn't mean you shouldn't look for another job. But I found oftentimes when you do that, it's not going to open up anyway because you are where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think people need to relax right where they are and trust the Lord for today and tomorrow and the next day and for the rest of our lives. So that would be what I would say in closing, is just trust the Lord, everybody. He is our source. He is the placer. He's the sustainer. He's the subjector. He's the all in all, and we can trust him. Amen, Steve.
That's awesome. It's a great way to end it.
Thank you.